Cultured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Unity. This is Wretched Radio. The word du jour, also known as the word of the day, is unity. Have you got it in your church and in your marriage? If you are not experiencing the oneness that you desire, there is a word, a very misunderstood word, that might just bring about unity in your home. Making it a place that is your safe zone. When you walk through the door, you say, it's good to be here. The world, it's raging out there, but in here it is peaceful. It is harmonious. We have unity with one another. You say, okay, sounds intriguing. What's the key word? Brace yourself. It's submission. I know it's a word that makes many bristle, particularly people of the female stripe, but it shouldn't. This is a word that actually has dignity and nobility, and it brings about unity. I was reading an article from one JonathanThrelfall.com. His name isn't .com. That's his website, JonathanThrelfall.com, talking about the imperative in Ephesians chapter 5 for a wife to be submissive. And he's going to build the case that when a woman is willing to play that role, oh, the fruit that it can bear. He's going to liken it unto music, where everybody in the family is singing their part. And then not just the melody line, but everybody's singing their part, bringing their gifts to the family by playing their roles rightly. So when a man is leading well, when a woman is submitting humbly without being a doormat, which Jonathan is going to make that case quite clearly, and when children are obeying their parents, and when parents are bringing up their children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, oh, it's sweet music. But we've got to understand how submission plays a key role in bringing about this unity. From the article, when Paul said that the husband is the head of his wife, what was he alluding to? Well, that would be Genesis 2. Listen, we just got the attention of Ken Ham. He was alluding to the account in Genesis about the origins of male and female. He made a man and said, not good. So he made, quote, a helper fitting for Adam. That would be your Genesis 2:18, Rexella. The word helper is a highly unsatisfactory rendering of the Hebrew word etzer, which is more often used to describe God as our help. Have you sung that song? O God, our help in ages past, our joy for years to come. Our helper from the stormy by, and our return. Okay, you didn't stop and go, whoa. We can't call God a helper. That's demeaning. Well, that's what he calls himself, an etzer, a helper. And as this article rightly points out, it doesn't mean sidekick. It doesn't mean assistant. It is somebody who channels their power to help someone who lacks that power. Did you catch that? And do you immediately sense, hey, wait a second, this really could bring about oneness, a one flesh union. The man not sufficient by himself, lacking. A woman has something, and by the way, she's insufficient by herself. You put the two together, bada boom, bada bing, you got a one flesh union that best glorifies God. That is why being a helper is something that brings about unity. From the article, how did God make this etzer, this help, not by reaching into the earth and forming her from the dust of the ground like Adam. Instead, he made her from Adam by taking one of Adam's ribs. Genesis 2:22. That the woman is man's help who came from Adam as her source or head means that male and female exist toward one another in a non-interchangeable, mutually empowering relationship. And it is only when each of us play our roles rightly does that happen. Now, I cannot diagnose every marriage, but I would suggest this. If you are not experiencing the unity that you desire, or if it's not as harmonious in your marriage as you know it should be, one of you or both of you are not playing your role exactly right. Because when both people are playing their role well, oh, it sings. It's harmonious. When somebody is off key, it gets a little bit messy. And then when somebody just decides to basically be a jazz musician and improvise, look out, just like jazz music, it's an abomination. Okay. Now, I was going to say that's an exaggeration, but I'm going to stick with that regarding jazz music. The point is, if your marriage isn't really singing, ask yourself the question, am I, as the man, am I, as the woman, playing my role well? Do I have any responsibility in how sweet this is or isn't? He writes, the roles of husband and wife are different. And these roles are not merely culturally conditioned, but are rooted in maleness and femaleness going back to God's creational design. The power of maleness and the power of femaleness are both necessary, distinct, and intended by God to reflect his divine being and enhance human society. In other words, to bring about unity in culture, in society, in the world. What do you see in most sectors of society? People are vying for power, to be in control, to dictate, to run. And that isn't harmonious. And that doesn't bring about a fruitful, a peaceful environment. It brings about hostility and resentment. God doesn't want that for us. And so he's assigned roles for us, and they can't be reversed, just as body and head cannot be reversed. Let's get to that word, submit, shall we? The Greek word is hypotasso. It's a word for order, taxis. So that when you submit, there's an ordering that takes place. An ordering of oneself in reference to others. So the one who submits voluntarily recognizes one's part in the whole, yielding one's unique power for the common good. And Jesus, that word is applied to Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15:28. The Son himself will also be hypotassoed, subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him. Is Jesus a second-rate citizen in the Trinity? Certainly not. But he submits. Why? Order. From the article, it is not the response of an inferior to a superior, since the Son is as fully God as the Father is. Second, submission is a good and necessary relationship of oneself to another when those selves function in harmony. That is what submission, it aligns things, it orders things. And it doesn't mean that you're the doormat. This article's super helpful. A wife's submission doesn't mean that submission is the result of the fall. It was before the fall for the right ordering of the planet. A wife's submission does not mean that all women must submit to all men. Well, there's one that you could talk about at the dinner table. A lot. A wife's submission does not mean unqualified obedience to her husband. In other words, if he's sinning, commanding sin, sorry. A wife's submission is not the sole responsibility she has toward her husband. This is interesting. When it comes to a wife's relationship to her husband, some say it's really simple. Submit. From the article. This view is both ludicrous and dangerous, because Paul clearly did not intend to say that submission summarizes everything a wife is to do toward her husband, but only how she is to act toward him as it pertains to their exclusive relationship as a husband and wife. In other words, your relationship with your husband is not just about submission. There are many other responsibilities. This is, if you can catch wind of this, this will change the way that you view perhaps your marriage and your role, and see it as something that is going to accomplish something so much greater, as opposed to each of us being in our own corners vying for power. That is our disposition, isn't it? I mean, do we need any more world history to tell us that is the way we are bent? That people love to have authority, love to be in control. And if somebody did not resolve it, if somebody did not make the decision about who is going to lead and who is going to submit in the home, it wouldn't have unity. It would have chaos. So if you're wondering how exactly can I now take that theology and make it practical, glad you asked. We'll do just that next on Wretched Radio.
Life doesn't come with calm storms. Sooner or later, the storm hits, and the world says the answer is boundaries. Build fences, keep people out, protect yourself, but the Bible never tells you to construct walls. Instead, it teaches you to anchor yourself to truth, to wisdom, to the unshakable foundation of God's Word. That's where the Better Way with Libby Glossin comes in. Intelligent talk radio for women, like no other podcast out there. Always thoughtful and no self-help gimmicks, no fluffy cliches, just practical biblical wisdom that cuts through the noise and makes a real impact in your life. If you're tired of the feel-good messages that don't hold up when the storm comes, it's time for something different. It's time for the Better Way with Libby Glossin. Real truth, real wisdom like no other. Because in a world full of compromise, there is indeed a better way.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. You walk out of the office carrying a label, and you wonder why you feel even heavier than you did before you walked in. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Look, not every struggle is solved with a pill. Not every label tells the entire story. What if addiction's not just a disease? What if your anxiety is not just a chemical imbalance? And what if the diagnosis handed to your child is not the final word? The world gives its answers, but rarely does it ever deal with the heart. Scripture does. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies. That's fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Know your reformers. Ulrich Zwingli was a Swiss reformer who pioneered expository preaching, introduced the regulative principle, and brought a republican government to Switzerland. He fought against the Roman Catholic Church for theological and political independence and died in battle. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
frustration time. This is Wretched Radio. Hoping, wishing, just wishing on a star that an article from one JonathanThrellfall.com will help your home and your church have unity. What is everybody's role in the home? Well, if there isn't an authority to assign those roles, guess what? You're going to have everybody vying for power. Even little children, little babies want power. They'll try to control a home. They do it all the time. Have you been to Walmart lately? Come on! And by the way, if you are currently attracted to this new parenting model that says, oh, we can't impose our authority on our children, wrong. If you don't want unity in your home, if you do not want the kid for the rest of his days trying to knock you off of your chair and usurp the role of authority in your home and just run his own life autonomously, then don't parent him. Don't exercise any authority. But we know this, and we've seen this, haven't we? Children do not thrive when they are given the reins. They thrive when they're playing their role right. This is not about submission per se. It's about playing one's assigned role. If a kid does not accept his or her part, they're a rogue actor and the play does not go well. And the same thing is true in the family. If everybody isn't playing their role, you're not going to have sweetness. Let's talk about the wife for a moment, because that is what does the Bible mean when it teaches wives to submit is all about. And I think Jonathan Threlfall did a nice job of presenting this issue of submission, not as one that is like, oh, I have to submit, but as something that is profoundly good that contributes to sweetness in the home. Here's the illustration. If you lived in a three-story house and your bedroom were on the third floor, it should still matter to you whether the first and second floors were in good condition. For the stability of floors one and two affects the stability of the third floor. Similarly, marriage is an upper floor relationship that rests on lower floor relationships. He explains that. Husbands and wives are fellow human beings. Husbands and wives are fellow citizens. Husbands and wives are fellow siblings in Christ. Thus, the responsibilities of human-to-human relationships and Christian-to-Christian relationships apply more fundamentally even than the husband and wife relationship. In other words, husband and wife third floor, your relationship with the Lord, your relationship in Christ is a first floor issue. Let it be clear, he writes, the wife's submission to her husband and the husband's love for his wife are responsibilities that are on top of more basic responsibilities, including loving one another, preferring one another, confronting and exhorting one another. In other words, the one another's that we see in the New Testament, those are first floor issues. What does this have to do with submission and a harmonious home? What he's getting at is that a wife isn't a doormat. If a husband is biffing it, she should lovingly approach him like she would a brother in the Lord, because he is. If he's slacking, she can encourage. She can even teach and instruct and help, because that relationship is even more fundamental than husband and wife relationship. You are in Christ, and you've got that relationship with everybody who's a believer. In your home, you also have the third floor of marriage. He writes this, submission as single duty is dangerous. So there are individuals who would just say, look, there's no debate on this. If the husband says it, the wife does it. Hold on. This author says that's dangerous, particularly if a husband does something illegal or unethical. Does a wife's calling to submit rule out her responsibility to report his abuse of the children? Or to solicit help from church leaders for his bad behavior? I know a lot of women, they struggle with this. The husband is being a lout in some regard, whatever the issue happens to be. And she's afraid to go to her elders. And she might be thinking, well, that's not submitting. And if he's really being obnoxious, he's going to throw down the submission card. I'm the head of this house, and you'll get in alignment with me. Sorry, that's third floor. First floor is she has every right to be concerned about you, your behavior, your attitudes, maybe even your soul. And the issue of submission does not remove those first floor issues. In other words, madam, if you're in that dynamic, go to your elders. You're not doing wrong. And if he's been telling you that if you do that, you're not being submissive, that's just inaccurate. That's just abusing submission. A wife must never think that by confronting her husband as her Christian brother, she is thereby failing to submit to him as her husband. Likewise, a husband must never dismiss the correction by claiming his wife's submission forbids it. It is possible that her confrontation was mistaken, overly harsh, or vindictive. If so, that needs to be dealt with on that basis, but never on the false premise that she is not, as a wife, allowed to exhort, confront, or disagree. Does that perhaps color the issue of submission better for you, madam? I hope so, because submission is not about second-class status. Submission is about unity in the home. And speaking of bonding, I hate to say that I was right, but I was right. After doing a little research from reading a book about the camels, Water for My Camels. Now, you maybe recall last week we were discussing this book that is very helpful when it comes to dating. It was a throwaway line about the chemicals and the hormones that get produced when a man and a woman are intimate together. And they are chemicals that bring about bonding and a unity and a oneness. And I thought, ooh, this is really important, because if men are producing this hormone from the intimate act alone, then no wonder why, after viewing pornography, a man feels like, oh, this just didn't deliver. It can't deliver. Why? Because God has your body producing hormones that should bring about bonding and unity with your intimate partner, aka wife. So did a little research. This is from Harvard. The woman produces something called oxytocin, which, by the way, it gets produced a lot in childbirth, which is why mommies bond with their babies. And incidentally, now this, believe me, this is not medical advice, but for women who have postpartum, they think maybe it's because her body hasn't produced a lot of oxytocin. They're kind of working through that. Regardless, we do know that oxytocin that is produced in women via childbirth, it brings about a bonding, a oneness with the child. In the meantime, the guys are producing something called vasopressin. Acting centrally reinforces territorial aggression, mate guarding, and pair bonding in males. So the intimate act produces this vasopressin business, and it makes you want to, hey, I'm guarding it. I like this. I'm taking care of this. I'm a man, and I'm going to be the strong one here. And you bond. You have a one fleshness with your spouse. How brilliant is God to create these things? Not surprisingly, from Harvard, the secretion of both of these hormones in the brain and blood is stimulated during sexual activity, thus reinforcing pair bonding, monogamy, and social cognition. In other words, when we do this intimate act the way that God has prescribed, what does it produce? Unity. I think that reinforces what this entire conversation about submission has been about. Unity is a big deal. God wants unity. God wants you and your husband to be united. So an admonition to you, sir, stop looking at your porn. Stop being intimate alone. Be with your spouse. Find your joy and fulfillment there, the way the Bible prescribes. Madam, understand submission rightly, its limitations, but also the honor of what it is in God's economy to bring about amazing glory for Him. And if you're playing that role right, and sir, if you're playing your role as leader right, you're being intimate with one another, you are going to enjoy profound unity. This is Wretched Radio.